Well, good morning.
早安。
It's good to be back with you again.
又回到你们当中，真好，感谢主。
I've been looking forward to coming back since the last time I was here.
自从我上次离开，我就一直在盼望回家，回到这儿。
And thank you for inviting me back.
谢谢你们邀请我回来。
Sometimes I go preach at places and they don't invite me back.
有时候我去一些地方呢，他们不愿意再次见我第二面了。
But this is good to be here because you are friends now.
现在你是我的朋友了，所以能够回来真是很好。
And it's a delight to be with friends.
跟朋友在一块，有朋再相遇，真是不亦乐乎。
This time I get to preach on a very different kind of subject than last time.
这一次呢，我要讲一个跟上回不同的题目。
Last time I was much more in a theological realm.
上一次呢，我讲的是一些神学的领域。
And this time I'm going to be a little bit more in a practical realm.
这回我要讲一个比较切合生活实际的问题啊。
But I hope to convince you by the time that we're done.
当我讲完之前呢，我希望我能够说服你。
That this subject is in fact remarkably theological.
这个主题啊，其实有关婚姻啊，是非常的神学性的。
We're going to be focused on God.
我们要把注意力焦点集中在神身上。
More than we're going to be focused even on the topic of marriage itself.
而不是把焦点集中在婚姻本身，而是在神身上。
Just about 15 minutes ago.
大概15分钟之前呢。
I finished preaching the last of these sermons at my own church.
在我自己的教会呢 15 minutes ago. 哦，我刚刚讲完这个主题的整个系列，在我自己教会。
I preached them to a camera.
我在跟一个摄像镜头在讲道。
And they watched it on the screen this morning.
今天早上他们在这个摄像镜头看我讲道。
I live in a fairly remote part of Kansas.
我住在 Kansas 州的一个很边缘的角落。
There are less than 2 people per square mile where I live.
每一square mile, 一英里平方英里只有两个人住。
And so it's very hard to find people to come and preach for you when you're away.
所以当你不在家的时候，很难找到代替你讲道的传道人。
And so I've discovered it's easier just to go ahead and preach to a camera.
所以我发现呢，跟摄像镜头讲道更容易，留给他们听更容易。
As I said, I preach this sermon series at my own church.
正如我说了，这一系列的信息我在自己教会刚刚讲完。
So it's been very much on my mind over the last few weeks.
所以过去两三个星期我一直在思考这些问题。
And I preached it to my own church for a number of reasons.
我跟我自己教会讲这个主题呢，有几个原因。
First, obviously, as prep for this time together here.
首先呢，当然是很明显是为了预备今天的聚会。
But secondly, because it's pastoral in nature.
第二呢，这是因为跟牧养教会是息息相关的主题，婚姻。
There are people in my church who are married.
在我们自己教会有人已经结了婚了。
And there are people in my church who are contemplating marriage.
还有些正在准备考虑要结婚。
And I have a number of people who are single.
还有一些单身汉，单身姊妹。
And not contemplating.
也不准备结婚了，准备单身一辈子。
So this is an opportunity to talk to all of those groups.
所以这是一个机会跟所有的不同的层次的人群讲
about this thing called marriage.
讲这个主题有关婚姻的主题。
And I suspect that that's probably true of you as well.
我想在我们当中也是这样的情况了。
There are some of you who are married.
有些已经成家了，结婚了。
Like this one.
Like those ones.
Like those ones, yeah. And then there are, of course, many of you who are single.
还有很多单身汉、单身妹。
And there's probably a number of you that want to get married.
还有一些呢，就是迫不及待要准备结婚了。
And so this subject will be particularly relevant.
所以这个主题呢，是跟我们真是很有关系的。
So we'll call it pastoral help for those considering marriage.
所以我们这是一篇有关牧会的信息，跟羊群有关的息息相关的信息。
But there's another reason I wanted to preach this to my own church.
还有一个原因，我要跟我们自己教会讲这个信息。
And it's the reason that I find this topic compelling when it was given to me.
所以我就感到这个主题是非常的compelling, you mean, 非常有
important, something
非常重要、yeah. 是切实际的。
In the West,
在西方
we are in the midst of a very profound discussion about this topic.
我们正在处在一个非常热门有关婚姻啊正在讨论的热火朝天的一个时刻。
You cannot turn on an American news channel without hearing about it.
你打开这个新闻啊电视啊你不可能不听到有关婚姻的讨论。
And the conversation, of course, is based on a very different approach than a biblical one.
当然他们的讨论的方式不是按照圣经是完全是人本的。
So it's important that we discuss this biblically.
所以我们要按照圣经来谈论婚姻是非常重要的事。
What does God say about marriage?
神是怎么看待婚姻的？
And how do we communicate that to others?
我们怎么样把这个正确的婚姻观传递给别人呢？
As we are engaged in this discussion,
当我们讨论婚姻的时候
How do we engage others biblically on this?
我们应该怎么样把别人带进正确的合乎圣经的婚姻观呢？
And for my own church,
为我自己的教会
we're also having to deal with that.
我们也需要处理这个问题。
In terms of what we do now,
我们该怎么样子面对现在的时机？
As a cultural pressure comes against us,
当这个文化的这个外面的社会的压力都在压挤我们的时候，我们该怎么办
？To compromise our view,
他们在施加压力，叫我们基督徒妥协我们的基督徒的婚姻观的时候，我们该怎么办
？In other words, in the simplest sense, who will we marry?
换言之，就是最简单的话，我们该。跟谁结婚
？And who will we not marry?
我们不该跟谁结婚
？I mean, this is a very practical discussion because as a minister, I'm being forced into this.
这是一个非常切合实际的一个讨论，因为身为一个传道人，我必须要面对这个问题。
And although I live in a place that's fairly conservative,
尽管我生活在一个比较保守的一个地带
，the fact is, it's coming.
但是这个压力是天天逼近啊。
So this is an excellent opportunity for me to think through this.
所以这是一个很好的机会，要我们好好的思考有关婚姻的问题。
Now I'm going to do this in four parts.
我要讲有四篇信息，一系列的信息。
The 1689 Confession has a chapter on marriage.
1689年的信仰告白里头有一章呢是专门有关婚姻的篇章。
And that chapter has four different paragraphs on the subject.
那一段落有四个段落，那一章呢有四个段落是有关婚姻的。
So my outline is going to flow directly from those four paragraphs.
是我的讲章的大纲呢是从这四个段落里头而取的。
We'll start with a definition.
首先我们要讲到婚姻的定义。
We have to start there.
我们必须从这个定义开始。
Because we have to know what it is we're talking about.
因为我们必须明白我们到底在讲什么。
Then I want to move to a discussion of its value.
然后我们要讨论婚姻的价值。
Why?
为什么
do we get married?
为什么要结婚
And then I want to move to a discussion of its extent.
然后我们要讲到婚姻的范围
Where does marriage go out to?
婚姻会涉及哪些方面
Or to say it slightly differently, excuse me, I lost my train of thought.
或者可以这么说，或者用不同的
Who should be married?
哪些人应该结婚？
And we'll make a distinction in that discussion.
在这个讨论里头，有关范围我们要分别
between those who are followers of Christ and those who are not.
分别那些信主的跟不信主的。
And then I want to come to the end and draw some boundaries around.
最后呢，我们要讲到婚姻的限制
or ask the question, who should not be married.
或者这么说, 我们要问谁不该结婚。
And so those are the four paragraphs of the confession.
这就是我们信仰告白里头的四个段落。
And they'll become the four parts of this series.
我们这一个系列就会讲这四篇信息。
So let's start with the definition.
好，让我们从定义开始，婚姻的定义。
I'm going to make five or six statements which begin with the phrase marriage is.
好，我会讲四五个句子啊，有关婚姻是什么。
In order to help us understand what this thing is.
好，叫我们明白何谓婚姻。First, 第一个句子,
marriage is a universal institution.
好，婚姻是一个普世性的制度。
What I mean is that marriage has existed in every human civilization.
我的意思就是在每一个人类的文化当中，每个民族里头都有婚姻的制度。
Every people group on this planet
在世界上各邦各族各民
has celebrated marriage as an institution.
都庆祝着婚姻的制度，不管是哪里。
And when we look at the earliest records of civilization,
当我们看到人类历史的最早的记载,
it is clear that this is the case.
很明显就有婚姻的记载。
For example, in the ancient Near East,
譬如在 ancient Near East,
the Middle East, the Mediterranean Basin,
中东, 在中东那一带,
going back
古代,
as far back as we have records,
最早的历史的记载当中,
we have evidence of marriage.
我们就看到有关婚姻的记载, 就有这样的记录。
In Mesopotamia, in about 1700 BC,
在米索波大米 1700, 大概公元前1700年,
about 1700 years before Christ,
这是基督之前1700年,
was a law code called the Code of Hammurabi.
有一个叫做汉谟拉比法典。
It's the earliest known law code written in that part of the world.
那一代世界最早的有关律法的记录。
And it has a number of laws in it regarding marriage.
里头也有一些关乎婚姻的律法的规条。
It's been translated from ancient script.
是从那古老的文字翻译出来。
And it's quite thorough in terms of who can marry and who cannot and what marriage is.
里头有详细的记载至于我们该跟谁结婚，不该谁跟谁可以结婚，谁不可以。
The first five books of the Hebrew Bible.
在希伯来文的这摩西五经头五卷书里头。
Which we have in our Old Testament today,
就在我们的旧约圣经里，摩西五经,
has laws in it relating to marriage.
里头也有关乎婚姻的一些规条制度。
It also has a number of examples.
也有一些例子，婚姻的例子。
Abraham, for example,
亚伯拉罕，譬如,
who lived nearly 2,000 years before Christ,
他在活在基督之前2000年前,
is documented as having a wife.
就圣经就记载了他有一个妻子。
And you, in your culture, even in China,
在我们中国人的文化当中,
a record stating back 3,000 years before Christ,
基督之前的3000年前就有了,
where marriage is not only defined, but celebrated.
我们不仅仅是定义婚姻的意义, 而且庆祝婚姻。
And so we see that marriage goes back for thousands of years of human civilization.
所以婚姻是在人类历史之前就几千年前就有当记载。
And marriage has been at the very core of those civilizations.
所以婚姻是这些文化的核心啊。
There's a lot of things about civilization that are built around marriage.
有很多人类的文化都是基于婚姻的制度。
Paternity.
譬如以父系为中心的这个家庭,
family lines.
家庭的这个祖传的。
And even the social structure itself is often built around this institution.
往往都是以家庭、以婚姻为中心、为核心的。
And procreation has been a primary purpose of marriage.
人类的繁衍更是婚姻的一个最主要的目的。
Almost every civilization on this planet has considered marriage to be the core of childbearing.
几乎世上的每一个家庭、每一个文明、每一个民族都以婚姻为要生儿育女， 不是断子绝孙，是叫什么？繁衍的一个主要目的。
So marriage has been universally understood.
所以全世界都明白婚姻是什么。
At the heart of social structure.
这是社会的一个核心制核心。
And within the culture itself.
还有在这个文化里面，这是核心。
Now,
基本的核心。
Different cultures have established marriage in different ways.
当然，不同的文化对于婚姻有不同的理解，不同的见方式。
And there has been an undeniable connection of marriage to religion.
而且婚姻和宗教的关系也是无可否认的。
But every single culture has understood this concept of marriage down through time.
但是不论是任何民族文化都对婚姻有所认识。
So marriage is nothing new.
所以婚姻不是一些什么新鲜的玩意儿。
People have been marrying and giving in marriage for centuries.
人类自古以来几百年来都一直在结婚婚来你像我这样讲来讲去。
In fact, as far back as we have records for that.
就是只要有人类历史就有婚姻的记载。
So marriage is a universal institution.
所以婚姻是一个普世性的制度。
Secondly, marriage is a mixture of secular and religious interests.
婚姻是世俗性和宗教性的混合。
Now, let me be clear right up front here.
让我从一开始就说明啊。
Marriage is not primarily a Christian institution.
婚姻不是一个基督教的一个制度，最主要不是一个基督教的一个制度。
Nor is it primarily a religious one.
也不是一个最主要一个宗教性的一个制度，不是。
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, there's always been a connection between marriage and religion.
是，正如我刚刚说的，婚姻和宗教是息息相关的，总是有个关系啊。
But fundamentally, marriage is not a religious institution itself.
但是最基本的。婚姻本身不是一个宗教的制度礼仪，宗教礼仪。
You think about it this way: marriage pre-existed Israelite history.
我们可以这样想啊，在以色列历史还没有记载之前，就有婚姻了，早就有了。
For at least 1,000 years.
至少在以色列没有成国之前，1,000年前就有婚姻制度了。
Abraham entered Canaan about 2000 BC.
亚伯拉罕大概公元前2000年前就进入迦南地了。
And the law that came to Moses was 430 years later.
然后摩西的律法是400年后才临到摩西的。
The concept of marriage also pre-existed Christianity.
而且这个婚姻的概念在基督教形成之前早就有了。
By several thousand years.
几千年前就有了。
I mean, Abraham was married 2,000 years before Jesus was even born.
亚伯拉罕在耶稣出生前2,000年前已经结婚了。
And even today, marriages continue to be sanctioned outside of the church.
甚至今天在教会之外也有合法的婚姻啊。
You can get married at a courthouse.
你可以在一个法庭里头结婚，没问题。
You don't need a minister.
你不需要一个传道人、牧师来主持。
And the state considers you married.
但是这个国家也承认你的婚姻是合法的。
And so does the church.
教会也承认，对不对？
So marriage is not a Christian or religious idea.
所以婚姻不是只有基督徒里头或者宗教里头才有的。
So what this means is marriage is a mixture.Of Christian and secular interests.
是这个意思，就是婚姻是又是世俗性的，又是宗教性的，两者的混合。
The secular interest is this.
世俗性的婚姻是
the stability and longevity of a society.
社会的稳定和社会的长寿
can be traced to its basic family unit.
是在乎他家庭的。稳固。
It's in the best interests of social governments.
这国家一个国家的稳定，一个社会的稳定，这政府。Okay, continue.
To promote healthy family life.
对政府最有益处就是要提倡。
And childbearing.
提倡 婚姻的稳固，还有要生儿育女，这个国家才能稳定。
And the stability that comes with family.
那有了家庭的稳固，社会才能够稳定发展。
It's in the best interest of government to promote that.
所以政府如果要强大，他就必须要巩固婚姻。
For example, national birth rate is an example of economic health, or a thermometer of economic health.
譬如这如果要社会经济健康发展的话，那么这个国家的生育，这国家平均的生育率呢，就会是一个温度计，就会不是促进，就是你这个生育，如果生育率稳定啊，也就是一个温度计，国家经济正在发展。
That's a complicated issue.
Okay, 我知道是有点复杂。
In other words, when the birth rate or the number of children that are born falls below a certain level.
换言之啊，如果国家的生育率太少了，少于一个水平线，一个标准的话。
Then the economic health of the country begins to suffer.
那么这个国家的经济发展也就会受影响。
This is well documented in Europe.
在欧洲我们就会看到这样的记录，明明显显的记录。
Once the birth rate in Europe fell below 2,
当欧洲的每个家庭的平均在两个孩子之下的时候，
the result was an economic downfall.
结果就是经济的下降。
There were simply not enough children being born,
因为孩子不够嘛，
to replace those who were dying.
所以那些孩子不能够代替那些死掉的人，一家少两个。
And that's a birth rate of 2.
就是少过两个人，两个孩子的话。
Because if two parents don't have enough children to replace themselves,
如果有两个父母没有两个接班人的话，
the population begins to shrink.
那国家人口就缩小了嘛。
And the number of young people,
那么那这国家的年轻人呢
？That are there to support the older, there
要支持老年人的年轻人呢
？Begins to shrink，
也就缩水了。
And the result is real economic problem.
结果就是这个整个国家的经济的问题了。
We are beginning to experience that in America.
在美国，我们正在开始经历这些经济的下降。
As I demonstrate in the sermon to come.
正如我们要讲到的。
So the secular culture has an interest in this thing called marriage.
所以这世俗就是世界上的人对婚姻很感兴趣。
It's in the best interest of a society to promote healthy marriage.
所以一个国家如果要发展的话，它必须要提倡健康的婚姻。
But there's also a religious interest.
同时也是跟宗教有关的。
And that is the promulgation of morality and the control of human sexuality.
就是要提倡道德伦理在婚姻中和say it again, morality and
the control of human sexuality.
和要限制人类的性发展，怎么讲？限制人的的过分的性行为。
I mean, every religious system understands.
每一个宗教系统都明白。
There needs to be restraint.
必须要有一些限制啊。
Within its understanding of sex and procreation and so forth.
对他们的对性的行为，还有有关繁衍，还有有关生儿育女，都必须要有一些限制。
I mean, every religious system deals with the subject of procreation.
因为每个宗教都论到了这繁衍生殖的这个问题。
And the goal is to promote healthy, moral, upright human relationships.
目的是要是要提倡健康的 healthy and
healthy human relationships.
是健康的，还有正确的、正义的这个人的关系、人际关系。
Basic morality，
就基本的伦理道德了。
So you see, we have a secular interest. We're government is interested in this.
一方面, 我们看到政府是世俗对婚姻感兴趣, 社会对婚姻感兴趣。
And so is the religious.
宗教也对婚姻这个问题也是有关的。
And sometimes those things come together.
有时候这两者呢, 世俗性跟宗教性是混合的一起的。
For example, in the United States,
譬如在美国,
a minister can marry someone.
一个传道人可以主持婚礼。
And the state will recognize that marriage.
政府呢, 也承认传道人所主持的婚姻在教会里的婚姻。
Just a few weeks ago, for example, I did a wedding ceremony.
譬如几个礼拜之前, 我就主持了一个婚礼。
And when the ceremony was over, I took the wedding license.
婚礼完了之后呢, 我把他们这个结婚证书呢,
which they had applied for from the state.
这是他们从政府申请的结婚证书。
And I signed it at the bottom.
我在下面签名。
And the state recognized the marriage.
政府也承认他们的婚姻是合法的。
So the government thought they were married.
So 政府承认他们是结婚的。
And the church thought they were married.
教会也承认他们是一对夫妻。
So marriage is a mixture of secular and religious interests.
婚姻是世俗性的与宗教性的混合体。
But the third point that I want to make is the most significant one.
第三点我要提出的是最重要的。
And that is this, marriage is a theological concept.
婚姻也是一个神学的概念。
The common definition of marriage today is this.
今天普遍对婚姻的定义是,
two people find each other.
两个人碰头了。
They fall in love.
他们坠入爱河了。
They get married.
结婚了。
So that they can provide mutual comfort to one another.
好叫他们能够彼此照顾。
It meets a need.
能够满足个人的需要。
The discussions that are taking place about marriage,
今天有关婚姻的讨论, 社会上的讨论,
revolve around this idea.
总是环绕这个概念。
We want to be able to share a life together.
我们愿意彼此分享生命。
We want to make each other happy.
我们要彼此造就，使对方幸福，大家快乐。
We want to have some mutual support.
我们希望彼此帮助，彼此白头偕老。
So it's a very human-centered definition.
所以这是一个非常人本的对婚姻的定义。
What does it do for me?
这婚姻对我有什么益处？
What do I get out of it?
我可以从婚姻中得什么好处?
And when I stop getting something out of it,
当我从婚姻中得不到什么益处的时候,
then it's easy just to walk away from it.
那我就可以一走了之, 就解散婚姻。
But I want to make this point,
我要讲的是,
that marriage is nothing like that at all.
婚姻根本不是这样子。
From a biblical perspective,
从圣经的角度来看,
marriage is God's idea.
婚姻是出于神的。
It is a theological concept.
婚姻是一个神学的概念。
Now, here's what's surprising about this.
叫人惊讶的是,
if you pick up a typical book by a theologian,
如果你随便拿一本, 神学家写的书,
somebody's written a systematic theology book.
一个人写下来的有关系统神学的一本著作。
Marriage is rarely mentioned.
婚姻几乎不会，都不讨论，就不提到婚姻。
I have a number of these systematic theologies in my bookshelf.
在我的书架上，家里头我有几本这个系统神学的书籍。
Reformed ones like Burkhoff and Grudem.
有一些很好的像清教徒的, 有一些改革宗的, 像这些神学家所写的系统神学著作。
But they don't mention marriage at all.
他们里头根本提都不提婚姻问题。
And Calvin in his Institutes only briefly touches on it.
在他的, Institute of Religion,
his Institutes of Religion,
基督教教义那本书里头, 只是很肤浅的, 提到而已,一笔带过。
Now that's surprising if it's theological, right?
这很叫人惊讶,对。 如果婚姻是, 神学性的，那怎么神学书籍里头都不提呢？
I mean, after all, the confession has a whole chapter on the subject, and rightly so.
但是感谢主在我们的信仰告白里头有整章都是有关婚姻的，应该如此，应该我们谈论很多有关婚姻问题。
And I think there's a number of reasons why they don't.
我想有几个原因啊，为什么这些神系统神学里头很少提到婚姻这个题目。
First, because many people sort of look at marriage as a secular thing rather than a theological.
因为很多人都认为婚姻仅仅是一个世俗性的事情，而不是宗教性的、神学性的。
And also the tendency to think about marriage as something that we do.
而且往往我们会想婚姻是我们做的事情啊。
I mean, you think about, for example, the different marriage seminars that you can go to.
你想想有一些什么婚姻的讲座啊，我们可以去参加的。
Well, where they will teach you how to be a better husband or a better wife.
这些婚姻讲座教你怎么样做好丈夫，怎么样做好妻子。
And they kind of treat it as just something we do.
所以我们认为婚姻是人自己成就的，人自己做的。
There's also the Protestant resistance to the Roman Catholic idea of marriage.
而且呢，我们这身为基督徒啊。就是所谓抗罗宗啊，我们对罗马天主教，对婚姻的看法，认为婚姻是一种圣礼，我们也有一种反感。
Roman Catholics elevate marriage to a sacrament，
因为罗马天主教把婚姻提高到一种圣礼的一个阶层。
To put that in context, they would make it a means of grace。
所以。他们会把婚姻当作一个恩典的途径啊。
But the reformers said no.
但是我们这些改革宗的，我们这些从天主教出来的基督徒，我们却否定天主教的概念。
And as Baptists, we would certainly say no to that too.
我身为浸信会的，我们更是拒绝，说这婚姻怎么是一个恩典的途径呢？不可能。
So many theologians just sort of leave it alone.
所以很多神学家呢，就把婚姻就置之脑后了，不理他了。
But probably the primary reason is not in most of these books.
但其中最主要的原因啊，为什么婚姻这些神学系统神学不提婚姻呢？
Is because it doesn't appear to be directly related to salvation.
因为婚姻跟救恩似乎没有直接的关系。
You don't have to be married to be saved.
你没必要结了婚才能得救嘛，对不对？
Or vice versa.
或者不结婚就不得救，跟没关系。
Thank God, right?
感谢主，不结婚也可以得救啊。
So many theologians sort of put it to the side.
所以很多神学家把婚姻放在一边。
Since it's not a salvation issue.
既然婚姻跟救恩没有直接关系。
But I will argue slightly differently.
但是我要从一个不同的角度来看待这个问题。
Now, let me ask you a question.
好，让我请问大家一个问题。
If marriage is an ancient institution,
如果婚姻是一个从古就有的一个制度
，and it's common to the entire world,
而且是普世性的制度
，then where do we find a definition of it?
那么我们从哪里可以找到婚姻的正确定义呢？
And where do we find its larger purpose articulated?
我们怎么也可以看到婚姻的目的，跟我们说阐明呢？哪里可以阐明婚姻的定义呢？
In other words, if marriage predates all written history,
换言之，如果婚姻是在所有人类历史记载之前就有的一个制度，
since it's been around from the beginning of time,
自从有人类历史就有婚姻了。
Where do we find its genesis?
那我们在哪里找到婚姻的起源呢？
The only possible answer that you can come up with.
我们唯一可以找到的答案，可以找到的，可能找到的答案是
is
是
the Bible，
是在圣经里，对不对？
The biblical revelation
就是圣经的启示。
Because there's no other source.
因为没有别的源头。
Which goes back and describes it from the beginning.
没有任何源头能够把我们带到最起初的源头。
In other words, there's no other source that tells us when it began and how it began and where it began.
换言之, 没有其他的源头可以告诉我们婚姻是怎么开始的, 何时开始的, 是什么?
Other than this book.
除了圣经之外, 没有别的正确的源头。
Now, let me be clear about something.
让我讲明啊。
I will not debate the concept of marriage with a biblical skeptic bent on defining marriage from his or her point of view.
Okay. Okay.
I will not debate a biblical skeptic.
Okay. 我不会对一个怀疑圣经的一个人跟他辩论.
From the perspective of this is what I think it should be.
我不会从一个我认为婚姻应该怎么样，我认为我不会从我自己的角度跟一个怀疑圣经人辩论婚姻应该是怎么下定义的。
In other words, 换言之, I don't care what you think it is.
我不在乎你怎么想，人怎么想。
That's the problem that's going on in this discussion in America.
这美国的有关婚姻的讨论的问题就出在这儿。
You listen carefully to what they say.
你注意听他们讲什么。
And what they say is, this is what I think it means.
他们总是说，我认为婚姻应该这样，应该那样。
But what we have to do is we have to say, okay, what's this real definition of it?
但是我们要做的是到底婚姻的真正的定义是什么?
Not your opinion.
不是你怎么想,
but an objective source.
而是一个客观的源头，客观的基础。
A source beyond our opinion.
不是人类意见的这个。 这个源头超越人类的意见,
that we can go to for fact.
我们可以回归那个正确的源头, 找到婚姻的事实, 婚姻的正确定义,
rather than just our opinions.
不仅是人的意见, 人的想法而已。
So let me put this before you.
好, 让我跟你这么说。
Marriage is a theological idea.
婚姻是一个神学的概念。
Established by God at the outset of humanity.
人类历史起初神就设立的一个制度，婚姻制度。
Integral to history as the very foundation of civilization itself.
Okay.
Integral to history as the very foundation. In other words, marriage is the very foundation of human civilization.
换言之呢，婚姻就是人类的。 人类的历史的基础，就是非常基本的。What
I'm going to argue is that marriage is an idea from the mind of God.
我要讲的是，婚姻是从神而来的，是神所设立的，神所设计的。That
when He created human beings,
当神造人的时候，
He created marriage.
他就 创立了婚姻，设立了婚姻，
to be the foundation of all human civilization.
好叫婚姻成为所有人类社会一切的文明的基础。
It's what I will call a creation ordinance.
这是我称之为叫做神的创造的谕旨。
A command of God at the very foundation of human existence.
在 人类历史一开始神就设立的一个命令，一个吩咐，一个谕旨，这是人类文化的基础。God
created this world, He had an idea.
当神创造天地，创造世界的时候，他就有这个概念。And
He formed that idea into humanity itself.
他就把这个概念放在人类的里面，就是婚姻。So
marriage is a theological concept.
所以婚姻是一个神学的概念,
coming from the mind of God himself.
是从神的旨意而发出的。
Now that changes everything, doesn't it?
这个概念是一切都改变了，对不对?
Because it can't be about our opinions anymore.
因为这不再是人认为婚姻是什么，不是人的意见。
What we have to ask is,
我们必须要问的是,
what is God's idea?
神是怎么想的? 神的意见如何?
Which leads to the fourth,
好,
marriage is.
带我们进到第四个有关婚姻的。
Marriage is a theological idea.
婚姻是在人类之初，这个神学的概念。
Established by God at the very foundation, the outset of humanity, integral to history, including redemptive history, as the very foundation of civilization.
好，婚姻 是在人类之初神所设立的一个神圣的制度，它不但与救赎历史息息相关，更是与人类文，更是人类文明的基础。Okay,
now this statement will be the statement around which the rest of this is going to go.
好，这一句话，这句话是我们要讲的其他的基础啊。
Now let's talk about marriage as a creative act.
好，我们再看看婚姻是神所创立的。
Which will lead us to Genesis chapter 2.
这个会把我们带到创世纪的第二章。
Now you're probably familiar with this story.
你可能对这个故事非常熟悉了，这个历史记载。
God forms Adam from the dust of the ground.
神从泥土造人。
And then he breathes into Adam.
然后他吹了一口生命的气息。
And Adam becomes a living being.
亚当就成了有灵的活人了。
And by the way, notice that order.
哦，请注意这个次序啊，顺便提一下。
Body first.
先是造了身体。
Life second.
然后生命气息才来。
What that means is that we are bodily creatures.
哦，换言之，我们是有物质的人类。
We're not human without a body.
我们不是没有身体的一个幽灵而已。
That's important to remember.
这很重要啊。
God then places Adam in the garden.
然后神把人放在乐园，伊甸园里。
And he instructs him to maintain that garden.
然后他就吩咐他要治理这个伊甸园。
And then in verse 18,
然后十八节
God comes along and makes a very strange statement.
然后神就说了一句很怪奇怪的话。
He says this.
他说
It is not good for the man to be alone.
那人独居不好。
Now you say,Why is that a strange statement?
为什么这句话很奇怪呢?
Because Adam was not alone.
因为亚当并不是独居啊，他不是孤家寡人啊。
First of all, there were animals there.
在他周围有很多神所造的牲畜啊，猫啊，狗啊。
In fact, if you look at this text, you see that God brought all the animals to Adam.
如果你看这段经文，神把所有的牲畜都带给亚当看看呐。
And he gave every one of them a name.
给他们每个人都取名啊，你取哪一个
？Elephant.
象啊。
Platypus. Raccoon.
那个什么猫头鹰啊，什么
names, right? He gave them all a name.
很多名字啊。
So he was not alone in that sense. There were animals there.
所以从那个角度来看，亚当不是独身呐，因为他周围很多。牲畜作伴啊。
But there were also angels.
哦，不但有牲畜，还有天使呢。
I mean, after all, one showed up in chapter 3.
你看第三章第一节，我们看到有一个天使出现了，对不对？
And had a conversation with Eve.
他这个天使呢，就跟夏娃就开始对话了，对不对？
And she didn't find it strange at all.
夏娃不觉得很奇怪，跟天使对话。
That a serpent could be talking to her.
这个蛇能够跟他说话，他不觉得很奇怪。
God had created the angelic beings to serve Adam.
所以神造了这些天使，为了要服侍亚当啊。
And it's very possible that he had some sort of interaction.
是很可能亚当跟这些天使当时也有交通，也有往来，也对话了。
But not only that.
不仅如此。
God was there.
哎，神自己也在伊甸园里。
In chapter 3, we see God come to the garden.
在第三章我们看到神来到了伊甸园里。
To walk in the coolness of the day.
他在天起凉风的时候神在当中行走，对不对？
It is possible that Adam talked with God and walked with God.
曾可能是亚当与神同行，与神谈天。
Every day.
天天。与神在一块交通。
And the Bible doesn't tell us how long he was there.
圣经没有告诉我们亚当在伊甸园待了多久
？Before Eve fell into sin and they were banished.
然后夏娃才犯罪，他们才被驱逐出境。
Could have been 1,000 years for all we know.
可能他们在伊甸园待了一千年才被驱逐的。
And so it's a strange statement for God to say it is not good for the man to be alone.
所以当神说那人独居不好，这很奇怪哎。
Because the man was hardly alone.
因为当时人并非真正的在独居啊。
So what did God mean?
到底神什么意思？男人独居不好。
The psalmist who wrote Psalm 8
诗篇第八篇的作者,
tells us that God made man
告诉我们神创造了人,
a little lower than the angels
比天使低一点,
and a little higher than the animals
又比牲畜高一点,
on a level in between.
在天使跟牲畜之间,
and it was on that level
在那个层面,
that Adam was alone.
亚当独居,
because there was no one like him on that level.
在那个层面,
in fact, this text tells us that none of the animals were found to be suitable.
所以这段经文告诉我们，没有一个牲畜可以跟亚当配合的。
And the angels are so much higher that
因为天使太高了,
there was nobody on the same level.
所以没有人跟亚当同一个层次。
Adam had been created for a peer-to-peer relationship.
亚当被造 做一个成为一个特殊的一个层次，为要找到配偶。
Just like God Himself.
正如神自己。
In theological circles, we call this the Imago Dei, the image of God.
在这个神学的圈子里，我们称之为神的形象。
We possess an image of relationship.
我们有神的形象，这个神这个形象是为了要跟别的相配的，跟同类的人有关系的。We
desire human companionship.
我们都渴望有同类的人类的相交的关系。We
don't like being alone.
我们不喜欢独居。
I mean, even the people who like being alone don't like being alone all the time.
都不喜欢永远的独居, Amen.
We like relationship. We are built for relationship.
我们喜欢有伴侣，喜欢有配偶，喜欢，因为我们神造我们就是为了要有关系。
And so when God says Adam needed a helper,
所以当亚当说，当神说亚当需要一个配偶来帮助他。
God wasn't just creating somebody to help him with the garden.
神不是造一个另外一个伴侣来一起来治理，做园丁一起来治理这个园子的。
Adam needed someone to fulfill his existence.
那是亚当需要另外一个伴侣来使他的生存完全。
To complete his existence.
使他的生存更满足有意义。
To finish what he was not.
来成全亚当还没有成全的那个完全。
So God forms Eve from Adam.
所以神从亚当里面造出了夏娃来。
Verses 21 and 22, God takes a rib out of Adam.
21到22节，神从亚当身上拿出一条肋骨。
Forms it into the shape of a woman.
然后造了一个女人。
And brings this woman to Adam.
然后把这个女人带到亚当面前, 这就是他的配偶了,
now notice he forms a creature from Adam.
注意啊，神从亚当身上造了另一个被造者。
He doesn't go get some more dirt.
神没有从泥土里头
and create a new thing.
造一个新的东西来。
Rather, he takes a part of Adam from himself
不, 神乃是从亚当身上
and forms it
造出
into something similar to Adam
造出一个与亚当相似的
yet different from him
尽管与他相似, 但是却与他不同的
not a totally new creature
不是一个完全新造的被造之物。
But a creature made out of the very essence of Adam.
乃是从亚当的本质里头造出来的一个伴侣，一个受造之物。
Similar.
相似。
Yet different.
却不同。
Now this is key.
这是一个钥匙，很重要的。
Similar.
相似。
Yet different.
却不同，对不对？
Sharing the same genetic material,
有同样的基因的本质,
the DNA is the same,
那个DNA, 那个一样, 基因差不多, 一样,
yet different.
但是却不同.
Physiologically different.
生理上不一样.
Emotionally different.
情感上也不太一样.
Different in many ways.
很多角度, 男人女人不一样.
Now, I know in America we're trying to suppress those differences.
我知道在美国, 我们想要把这些不同都, 都, 都压下去。
We're trying desperately to make men and women the same.
我想, 我们想尽办法, 说男女平等, 男女一样。
But that's not what God did.
但是这不是神所做的。
God made a creature
神创造了,
out of Adam.
神从亚当里面造出另一个。
That was very much like him,
他们两个很相似,
and yet very different.
但是却完全不同.
Point which I'll come back to in the future.
我们以后再会论到这一点啊。
Which leads us then to verse 24.
然后我们再看24节啊。
Verse 24 becomes the definition of marriage.
24节就成了婚姻的定义了。
God gives Eve to Adam to fulfill his existence.
神把亚当赐给夏娃，为要成全亚当存在的意义。
Notice the word therefore at the beginning.
因此这两个字，24节。
Why shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife?
为什么人要离开父母与妻子联合成为二乘一?
The answer is the previous verse.
答案是在前面一节。
Because the woman was taken out of the man.
因为女人是从男人身上取出来的。
So why do people get married?
为什么夫妻要结婚呢?
Because it completes the divine purpose.
因为这成全了神的旨意。
For men,
对男人,
and women,
对女人, 都成全了神的旨意。
God creates a man,
神造了一个男人,
takes a woman out of him,
又从男人身上造出了女人,
brings them back together,
又把他们两个人就聚在一块,
says,
然后说,
this is my plan,
这是我的计划,
this is what I see for humanity,
这是我为人类所定的旨意。
So the core of the marriage being is this,
所以, 婚姻的核心是
They shall become one flesh.
二人要成为一体。
I want you to think about that word become.
我要你注意, 二人成为一体, 这个成为这个词。
They shall become one flesh.
二人成为一体, 成为。
Now here's what I want you to know.
我要你注意的是,
Marriage is a creative act.
婚姻是神所创立的一个行动,
in which God creates
借此,
a new creature
神造了一个新造的人,
from two different and separate persons.
他从两个分别的不同的个体造出一个新造的个体,
in the very image of God himself,
是按着神的形象被造的,
which fulfills his purpose.
这个个体成全了神的旨意。
Now, we don't really have a word to describe what this new creature is.
我们没有一个词来形容这个新造的婚姻的个体是什么。
We call it Mr. and Mrs.
我们称之为先生、太太。
We call it husband and wife.
我们称为老公、老婆。
But from God's perspective,
但是从神的角度,
the two who were distinct and separate,
这两个不同分别的个体,
become one.
成了一体。
Now, see the irony of that?
你看到其中的, 这个其中的 ironic, 讽刺性吗?
God takes a rib out of Adam,
神从亚当身上拿出一条肋骨,
takes a chunk of his flesh,
把他的肉体中拿出一块,
forms a woman out of it,
然后造了一个女人,
then turns around and brings the woman back to the man,
然后又把这个女人又带回男人,
and says, become one.
说你们二人成为一体。
Interesting.
很有趣。
So what we have is we have a new thing created.
所以我们看到一个新造的个体。
At the moment the marriage is made.
当夫妻一结婚就有一个新的个体了。
I love doing weddings for this reason.
因此呢我就很喜欢主持婚礼。
I've done 8 of them in my ministerial career now.
I've
done eight of them.
我做牧师这么多年来，我主持了八次婚礼了。And
the reason I love doing them is not because they're filled with joy.
我之所以喜欢主持婚礼啊，不仅仅因为婚礼是充满了喜乐而已。You
know, I mean, it's happy. It's a big celebration.
是很大的庆祝，很快乐，欢喜快乐。当然，dancing
and singing, all kinds of stuff, right?
唱歌啊，是很快乐。That's
not the reason.
但这不是我喜欢主持婚礼。You
know the real reason?
你知道真正原因是什么？
It's because standing in front of me are two distinct persons.
因为站在我面前两个分别的个体。
And then I utter some words.
然后我说出一些话来。
And God does a miracle in front of me.
然后神就在我眼前行了一个大神迹。
He takes a girl and a boy.
他把一个男孩跟一个女孩。
And he turns them into something new.
使他们两个成为一个新的。
Right in front of my eyes.
在我的眼前行神迹了。哇。
It's one of the only times that human beings get to speak something into existence.
哦，这是人类唯一的一次能够使一些事情说有就有。
I get to say those magic words by the power vested in me, etc.
我借着神赐给我的权柄，我可以说那些奇妙的话，有能力的话。
In front of me becomes something new.
砰。 在我面前就,
Marriage is a creative act of God.
所以婚姻是神所创立的一个行动。
He speaks into existence.
他说有就有了。
Something new.
新的,
Just like he did all through chapter 1.
正如第一章,创世纪第一章一样, 创世纪一。
When he said, let there be,
当他说,
let there be,
要有这个，要有那个，说有就有了。
And they sprung into existence.
他们就说有就
exactly the same thing
存在了，照样婚姻也是如此。
They become
他们成为
one flesh
一体。
Now this is an amazing parallel.
这是一个很奇妙的一个平行啊。
To the very nature of God Himself.
这就是神自己的本性的一个平行的。
Now you know that Yahweh, God,
你知道耶和华我们的神呢,
is one being
是一位神, 只有一位,
that exists in three distinct persons.
他在三位一体里存在的,
Father, Son, Spirit.
圣父、圣子、圣灵,
one being,
但是同一体,
three persons. That's 又是三位, Orthodox Christianity.
这是正统的基督教信仰,三位一体。
The same exact picture is drawn in marriage.
同样的，在婚姻里头，我们也看到完全一样的一幅图画。
When that new couple walks out of the church,
当这一对新的夫妻从教会走出去的时候,
they are now one flesh.
如今他们是一体了。
In two persons.
但是有两个人。
See it?
看到没有?
It's not one in three, but it's one in two.
不是三位一体，而是两位一体。
But notice the parallel.
你注意这个平行。
God is one being, three persons.
神只有一位，但是却有三位。
And a married couple is one being.
一对夫妻也是一体，却有两个不同的个体。
They're not separable. They're the same flesh, right? One flesh.
但他们是一体，不可分开的。
And yet they're two distinct persons.
但是却是两个。
And so this one flesh idea is much, much more than just the intimate relation of a man and a woman.
这不仅是夫妻之间的亲密的关系而已, 这个一体的概念,
There's a lot of,
远远超越这个,
of Christians who want to limit that one flesh union
很多基督徒啊,
to sex.
把认为这个一体,
no, I tell you it's much greater than that.
仅仅是夫妻交配的性关系而已, 其实远远超过这个,
it's a joining together of two people.
这个一体乃是两个人的联合,
to become something new.
成为一个新的个体。
My wife and I have been married for 29 years.
她跟她太太结婚了29年, 我们23年。
And I can tell you there's a lot of times
我可以告诉你啊, 很多时候,
when she finishes my sentences,
她会把我没讲完的话讲完,
when I'm already thinking
当我正在思考的时候,
what she's thinking,
她也在想,
where do you want to go for supper tonight?
你要到哪去吃晚饭啊?
And she suggests some place.
她就会,
and that's where I was thinking.
建议,我正在想那个地方,
it's a creation of something new.
不谋而合,
and when verse 24 speaks about the man leaving his father and mother,
所以当24节讲的人要离开父母啊,
and cleaving to his wife, the word in the King James is cleaving.
这个联合,
holding fast together.
联合的意思就是紧紧地抱,
that holding fast is what God is doing.
这就是神所做的,
joining them together. The Apostle Paul speaks of this union in Ephesians chapter 5.
在以弗所书第五章呢, 使徒保罗也讲到了这个联合,
you got Ephesians 5?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep, there it is. In this passage, Paul speaks of this same thing. Okay?
在这一段经文里头, 以弗所书第五章, 保罗讲同样的事情。
Listen to how he puts this.
你看看他怎么说的。
In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies.
丈夫也当照样爱妻子，如同爱自己的身子。
He who loves his wife loves himself.
爱妻子便是爱自己啦。
For no one ever hated his own flesh,
从来没有人恨恶自己的身子,
but nourishes and cherishes.
总是保养顾惜。
See, when Paul thinks of marriage, he thinks of a one flesh relationship. God has created something. And so a husband loving his wife is a husband loving himself. Because he's a part of that one flesh relationship. So, by creating Eve similar to Adam, yet different.
所以神造了夏娃与亚当相似, 但是又与他不同。
And joining her to Adam as his wife,
夏娃与亚当联合起来,
God was forming a new creature.
神就造了一个新的一体。
As a picture of himself,
这是一个他自己的一幅图画。
And as the basis of all human civilization. Which leads to my fifth marriage is state.
好,我们再看婚姻是什么,我们看第五个。
Marriage is a creation ordinance.
婚姻是神创作的圣礼。
In other words, marriage is foundational to the very existence of human beings.
换言之, 婚姻是人类存在的基础。
Now let's go look at the larger purpose of marriage in Genesis 1.
我们再看创世纪第一章哦, 婚姻的这个更长远的目的。
When God created Adam and then Eve,
当神造了亚当又造了夏娃,
He gave them two commandments to follow.
他给他们两个吩咐, 两个命令。
The first of these commands was,
好, 第一个吩咐是,
Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.
对他们说, 28节, 生养众多, 遍满全地,
Procreate.
就是繁衍,
produce children.
生殖, 生儿育女,
fill the earth with people.
让全世界充满你们的后代。
God commanded them to do this.
神吩咐他们要生养众多, 多儿多子多孙。
Now, I used to think that this was the only command we've ever been able to keep.
我以前认为这是人类唯一能够遵守的诫命。
I mean, after all, there are 7.5 billion of us on the planet.
因为我们在世上有75亿, 是吧?
There's more than a billion in your land.
在我们中国, 仅仅中国就多少?
I used to think this was the only one.
多少亿我? 13亿, 我以为是人类唯一能够遵守的诫命。
I used to think this was the only one we could keep.
生养众多,
I don't think that anymore.
现在我不以为然。
I changed my mind on that.
我改变了我的主意了。
Because I believe that we as human beings,
因为我相信我们身为人类啊,
are much more successful at killing than we are at reproducing.
比我们繁衍生命更有能力。
I'll bring some statistics about that in a bit.
一会儿功夫会把一些数据给你看看。
But in the last 100 years,
但是过去100年来,
we have killed more people on this planet than have lived on this planet.
我们呢, 杀的人比生存的, 所有生存在世上人更多。
So we've been really good at killing, not so good at obeying this command.
所以呢, 我们杀人更有本事, 超越我们能够生产的本事。
But the second command that God gives
但神给的第二个吩咐呢,
is to subdue the earth and have dominion over everything.
治理这地, 要管理他所造的一切的空中鱼海中鸟地上所有的心。
Take dominion over the earth and control it and use it.
要治理这地, 而且要管理这地, 然后好好地使用地上的资源。
God created all things for human beings to use.
神造万物为了人可以使用。
To create the civilizations and the cultures in which we live.
他创造了这个, 他, sorry, okay.
God created everything in the world for us to use.
神造了万物, 这些资源我们都可以使用,
and we build our societies with it.
然后我们借此能够创造这个社会, 建立这个社会。
We build buildings and roads and everything else,
我们建,
and books
建筑啊,
and so forth.
这, 房子啊, 路啊, 等等。
And that's our dominion.
这是我们该管理的范围。
Now you will notice.
好, 你会注意到,
Verse 28 follows verse 27.
是在27节之后, 对不对?
Look at verse 27.
你看27节,
God created man in his own image.
神就造自己的形象造人,
in the image of God he created him.
是造, 乃是造的, 他的形象造男造女,
male and female.
哦, 注意哦, 造,
he created them.
男造女,
and God blessed them.
然后神就赐福给他们,
Notice the connection.
注意这个关系, 27, 28节的关系,
the formation of human beings as male and female.
神造男造女,
and the marriage relationship that we see outlined in Genesis 2.
然后我们看到创世纪第二章的这个婚姻的关系,
becomes the foundation for the commands in the next verse.
这个婚姻的关系就成了 下一节就28节的一个基础了。
In other words, from God's perspective,
换言之从神的角度,
we procreate and fill the earth
我们,
because we are male and female.
我们能够繁衍, 我们能够生养众多, 能够遍满全地, 因为我们有男有女啊。
That's the only way that works, isn't it?
看到没有, 这是这唯一这两者的能够, 怎么样子关联的,
the only way to produce a child is a man.
唯一能够繁衍, 能够产生儿女的方式就是有男有女, 造男造女。
Even 21st century technology doesn't get us around that.
21世纪我们科技那么发达, 你不能够绕过有男有女, 才能够产生儿女,
but it's also true in the second command.
那, 而且这第二个吩咐也是如此啊。
Male and female marriage
造男造女, 男女结婚了,
is the reason we're able to subdue and take dominion over the earth.
我们不仅生养众多, 我们才能够管理这个这地, 治理这地, 管理这世界上的一切资源。
The assumption amongst many is that's not the case. The assumption amongst many is that's not the case.
但是很多人却不以为然啊。
That we don't need marriage in order to have civilization.
我们不需要婚姻有人类文明，不需要婚姻。
But not according to God in verses 27 and 28.
但27到28节，圣经告诉我们必须要有婚姻才能够有人类文明，才能管理这地。
Female,
造男造女。 27节
two commands.
然后紧接着才有这两个吩咐，两个命令。
So marriage is a central part of the creation ordinance itself.
所以婚姻是 神的创造的预旨的一个必须的不可少的一个基础。
It's at the very heart of the dominion of humanity over this planet.
这就是人类能够治理全地的核心。必须要有婚姻。
God ordained marriage at the very beginning as the institution,
神从起初就设立了婚姻,
through which humanity would carry out God's purpose.
然后借着这个婚姻, 人类可以成全神的旨意。
God's purpose is carried out through marriage.
神的旨意就借着婚姻得以成全了。
So any other view of marriage,
所以除此以外, 任何的婚姻观,
that either defines the union differently,
或者对婚姻的联合有不同的定义,
or fails to take into account these two commands,
或者不管神的这两个吩咐的任何定义,
is not marriage.
那都不是真正的婚姻。
If the union does not take into account those two commands,
如果这个联合不把这神的两个吩咐算在内的话,
marriage,
那就不是真正的婚姻。
No matter how much they might protest that it is,
不管他们会怎么样抗议, 怎么样子说那是婚姻, 那不是婚姻, 其实。
So marriage is at the very heart of God's creation of humanity.
所以神造人的时候, 婚姻就是 其中这个核心基础,
a creation ordinance.
这是一个创造的预知。
But it is also a covenant relationship.
不但如此呢, 婚姻更是一个盟约的关系。
Malachi chapter 2, I just put this up to show you something from it.
马拉基书第二章, 我让你看一些事实, 第二章。
It's a picture of the relationship.
这是一个关系的一幅图画。
That God has with a people.
这个关系是神与他百姓的关系, 婚姻也是一幅图画来表明。
Marriage is a covenant relationship.
婚姻是一个盟约的关系。
And God himself calls it a covenant relationship.
神自己称之为盟约的关系。
It's a set of promises.
这是一些应许。
The man promises to love his wife.
男人应许。
The wife promises
妻子也照样应许,
to love her husband. There are vows and oaths that are taken.
所以有海誓山盟啊, 在结婚的时候要发誓的。
And that's a covenant relationship.
这是一个约的关系。
And it is held to the same standards that God makes in his covenants.
这个约的应许的标准, 正如神与人立约的同样的标准。
There's a number of these standards. The first is a promise.
有很多的标准啊, 第一是这个应许的标准。
Every covenant has a promise, right?
每一个盟约里头都有一些应许, 一些许诺, 对不对?
God makes a promise
神许诺,
in his covenants. God makes a promise in his covenants.
在他的盟约里头许诺, 应许了。
He makes an oath.
他就发誓了, 起誓了。
Remember when he made a covenant with Abraham?
你记得他与亚伯拉罕立约?
He promised Abraham that Abraham would have all the land. And God said, let me prove it to you. And so he put him into a deep sleep. And he showed him two torches, two pots. And cut an animal in half. And God walked between the cut animals. And he was making a promise. And the promise God was making was this. If I don't keep my promises, then may what happened to this animal happen to me.
发生在这牲畜身上的事儿也发生在我身上，我也劈两半，这神的应许。
Every marriage is a promise.
每个婚姻都是一个约，婚约。
And every marriage has witnesses.
每个婚姻不但是有应许，也有见证人。
There's always a witness in God's covenants.
所以在神的约里头也有见证人。
We often call them signs.
我们往往称之为记号啊,
the sign of the covenant.
这约的记号,
what was the sign of the Mosaic covenant?
摩西之约的记号是什么?
Circumcision.
是什么?
Abraham.
割礼, 亚伯拉罕,
yeah. Abraham was circumcised.
亚伯拉罕受了割礼,
the covenant was a sign to him.
然后这个割礼的记号, 有记号的。
I said Mosaic Covenant, I meant Abrahamic.
这是, 对不起, 我的意思是说, 亚伯拉罕之约啊,
so there's a promise,
是有,
there's a witness,
有应许,
by the way, this
也有见证人, 这整个,
on my finger, right?
你看到没有,在我手指上。
What does that do? It's a sign, right?
这是什么? 这是一个记号。 我们心里有记号啊。
It's a sign, promise you something.
这是一个记号啊, 这是对吧, 记号, 应许。
I can't even get mine off anymore.
I don't have one.
You need to get one.
他都拔不掉了。
Where's the sign?
In my heart.
Okay, there you go.
我心里有记号。
She's got the sign, right?
她有,她有, 心里也有。
So there's a promise, there's a witness, but there's also faithfulness, right?
不但有应许, 也有一个记号, 而且还有 faithfulness,
faithfulness.
还有那个忠心, yeah. 忠肯, 忠心。
See? Verse 15.
15节,
Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union?
啊, 他不是单造, 可以有能力造多人, 不是单造一人,
and what was God
为何只造一人呢?
Seeking?
神要的是什么呢?
Godly offspring.
他要的是呢,
so guard yourselves in your spirit.
所以应当谨守你的心,
and let none of you be faithless.
谁也不可以怎么样,
okay. What's the indictment that God is making against you?
这里神对这些人的控告是什么?
They have broken their promises. They've been faithless.
他们 不守约,他们契约了,他们不忠心。
Marriage is a picture of this covenant.
所以婚姻就是一个神与人立约的一个图画。
Requires faithfulness.
我们需要忠于所应许的。
You can't go wandering off.
你不能够花心。
But it also has the standard of completion.
不但如此,也有一个完成的一个标准。
Something resulting from it.
有一些事情会从这个婚姻中而带来的结果。
And what does he say he wants?
他说他要什么?神说要什么? 乃是他愿人得什么? 敬虔诚的后裔, 得虔诚的后裔, 15节。
What does he say he wants?
他要什么?
Same thing he said in Genesis 1:28.
正如创世纪第一章28节所说的,
Be fruitful.
要生养什么?
Godly offspring.
他要的是虔诚的后裔, right? 对不对?
God wants
生养众多, 这是神要我们关系中所产生的结果。
Notice that marriage has all the same hallmarks of any covenant God has ever made.
你注意到没有? 婚姻是神与人立的任何的盟约的,有任何的记号, 婚姻也有同样的记号。
A promise?
有一个应许。
A witness?
有见证人。
Faithfulness?
要忠心。
And completion.
也要完全, 也要有结果。
And this especially
这特别是,
is pictured in the covenant relationship God has with his elect.
这是神与他选民所立约的,也有这些记号,一切的,这几点。
See, when a marriage is made,
你知道,当一个婚姻成全了,
it's actually a three-way covenant.
这是其实是三个方向的一个约。
The man promises something to the woman.
男人向女人应许了一些事。
The woman promises something to the man.
女人也向男人应许了。
And God promises something to both.
然后神也向他们两个人应许了一些事。
Back to Genesis 1:28.
再回到创世纪第一章28节。
Through you.
借着你。
I'm going to bring children. I'm going to bring civilization. I'm going to bring stability.
我要带来生养众多, 带儿女, 带来稳定, 带来治理, 这全地, 等等,
and it foreshadows, it's a picture.
这也是一个图画, 婚姻是个图画,
of the same covenant that God makes.
预表了神与人,
with his elect.
神与他的选民所立的盟约.
Christ,
基督,
promises something to the elect.
应许他的选民一些东西,
the elect
选民,
promised something to Christ,
也应许基督一些东西,
and that is
就是,
faith,
就是信靠,
Christ comes, dies,
基督来,
the elect believe,
just a second, okay. 哦, 基督来, 来, 他为我们死, mm-hmm. And the elect,
the elect believe,
选民就信靠他,
and God,
然后神,
saves,
就拯救他们,
God promises.
神应许了,
keeps his covenant.
要, 他必要守约。
See the parallel?
你看到这个平行没有? 这个相似。
Husband and the wife are reflective of the relationship.
丈夫跟妻子表明了这个关系。
Between Christ and the church.
基督和教会的关系, 对不对?
And God witnesses and promises something to me.
神是个见证人, 而且神应许,
I'll be coming back to that again.
我会再讲到这一点啊。
God established marriage
神设立了婚姻,
as his culminating act.
是他的最终极的一个行动,
as his culminating act in the formation of humanity.
他创造人类的最终极的行动就是婚姻了。
What was the last thing God created?
神所造的最后一件事是什么? 最后一个东西是什么?
What was the last thing he created?
他造的最后一个东西是什么?
And the answer is
答案是,
the new creature. What did you say?
I said my wife.
No. Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry. 我说的是那个新造的个体。
The last thing he created was that new creature
那个新造的个体
that he had brought when he brought Eve to Adam.
当他把夏娃带到亚当面前。
You see it?
看到没有?
It's the last verse of Genesis chapter 2.
这是 创世纪第二章的最后一节, right? 对不对?
Because chapter 3 recounts the fall, right?
因为第三章就讲到了他的堕落犯罪, 对不对?
The very last word, the very last creation,
这最后一个创作,
in those two chapters,
整个头, 创世纪1到2章, 头两章的最后一句话,
is becoming one,
就是二人成为一体, right. 那是最后的,
the last thing God formed
这神造的最终极的行动, 最后他所创造的,
the husband and wife.
就是丈夫跟妻子, 联合, 成为一体。
So how important is it?
重不重要?
If it's the last thing he created,
如果这是他所创造的最后一件行动,
I leave that to you to figure out.
你自己决定吧, 重不重要?
Marriage is the foundation of human civilization.
所以婚姻是人类社会的基础。
God gave a command to this pair.
神吩咐这一对夫妻,
and said, go build a world.
说去, 来建立这个社会,
and marriage
创造这个世界,
is the institution upon which it's built.
婚姻就是这个制度, 这一切的基础,
Secondly, marriage is a picture.
第二,婚姻也是一幅图画,
of who God is.
显明神的本质,
one being,
一位,
in three persons,
三位一体,
marriage is one being,
婚姻也是,
two persons,
两位一体, 也是,所以是一个反映神的一个图画,
and thirdly,
第三,
it's a picture of the relationship.
婚姻也是一个图画,表明一个关系,
that God has with his people.
神与他百姓的关系的一幅图画。
It's a picture of the faithfulness of God.
也是一个显明神的忠诚的一幅图画。
To his people as a husband is faithful to his wife.
神向他的百姓是信实的, 正如一个丈夫对他的妻子也是忠诚的。
That is marriage.
这就是婚姻了。
See, it's not just two people finding comfort and living in the same house.
婚姻不是两个人啊, 彼此相爱, 我们住在同一个房子里头, 你爱我, 我爱你而已。
No, it's God building something upon which he bases the whole world.
乃是神创造这全世界的一个基础, 一个基石。
And the history of civilization from the very beginning of time,
人类历史从起初, 人类文明,
proves that to be true, doesn't it?
就证明这个是事实, 对不对? 借着婚姻可以管理全世界。
Because marriage has been a part of every civilization on this planet.
因为这是人类所有文明的一个基本的一个基石。
And so that's where we have to start.
这是我们的起点。
Let's pray.
我们祷告。
Please visit our website at heartcrymissionary.com. There you will find information about the ministry, our purpose, beliefs and methodologies, and extensive information about the missionaries we are privileged to serve.